Welcome to episode 73 of The Ball Run, the official podcast for snooker professional Stuart Bingham. This content is sponsored by renovation specialists R&J Carpentry and Construction, and it's a show in which I, sports journalist James Colasanti, ask the man nicknamed Ball Run about recent results, life on tour, and life in general. Now, before we get underway with the snooker, a quick mention for your new sponsorship deal with a company called Shitayan Gan, who design and manufacture high-quality bespoke cues. They'll have their logo on your arm for the next 3 years, so I'm sure they'll be hoping for another deep run from you at the Crucible this year. But how did that come about, mate? And I'm guessing you're pleased to have them on board, right?
Yeah, it's all obviously my new manager, Taylor Wilson. They've started to sponsor Kyron, and obviously they're reaching out, and obviously Taylor's got me on board, and it's sort of looking forward to a good and long partnership with them.
Yeah, I couldn't find a great deal of detail, but I know I think it came about when Taylor was in Wuhan. They're kind of Chinese firm, are they? And have they been about a while? What do you sort of know about them at this stage?
To be honest, I don't know a lot. Taylor's sort of say you've got it all. We've just signed the contract, so I think I might have to go to China to actually sort of finalise the deal in May. So I'm not really 100% sure what they do. But I've heard they sort of sell loads and loads of cues, which is good.
Right, okie doke. Oh, we will keep an eye out for them, and I'll obviously link into all their socials and stuff through the podcast, so please do go and check them out. Okay, right, so plenty to dive into today, including just missing out on progression in the Championship League Invitational event, despite some genuine high notes, making a milestone century and writing yourself even further into snooker's history books, what turned out to be a short and I'm guessing frustrating trip to Germany, and bringing this right up to date, an early exit from the Welsh Open less than 24 hours ago. As usual, we'll work through it in chronological order. And for our listeners, you may hear the sort of wheels turning. Stuart is driving home at the moment from that event. So, we were just having a chat off air about the long journey home. But anyway, like I said, we'll go back in time. And first up for you in early January, it was Group 4 of the Championship League Invitational in Leicester. And what was really an exceptional start to your calendar year. Wins over Matt Selt, Jackson Page, Jimmy Robertson, John O'Connor and Mark Selby, in which you dropped only four frames and made the day's highest break of a 143. It saw you top the group despite a loss to Jack Jones. It's up a semi-final with Jones, not your first last four clash with the Welshman over the past year, of course, and he edged a very high quality and intense best of five, in which you both made tidy tons and 50s. It meant you moved into Group 5 10 days later and ended up in a near miss and an elimination. There were defeats to Judd Trump, Sell and Jones again, but wins over Connor and Tom Ford meant it came down to your clash with Neil Robertson, in which the Aussie prevailed 3-1, allowing Ford to secure a fifth spot and progress to Group 6. So, much to digest there, and we haven't even mentioned the milestone century yet, but how do you now reflect on all of that Championship League stuff now a few weeks later?
Sorry, say that.
Yeah, I was just saying there was a lot. Yeah, I was just saying that obviously there's a great deal going on. There was the two different separate parts. But how do you reflect on all the Championship League stuff now a few weeks later?
Yeah, it's good. It's good. Good to get some match play. Felt like I played pretty well in the first group. Something clicked in the game. Found something and sort of run with it for the sort of 2 days in the group. Had a little dull spell the week after. Something happened in the game and then I sort of struggled in the next group. And then it's just sort of progressively got a little bit worse. Confidence has gone a bit low. But I think I missed out by literally one frame to sort of stay in the groups.
Yeah.
I've obviously lost 3-1 to Neil Robertson.
Yeah, was it just literally down to the one friend? The 3-1, 3-2 would have done it for you, would it, on the number crunch?
Yeah. Blimey, right. I was 67 up with 67 on, and somehow I ended up losing a frame that was just a bit of a freak.
Yeah.
Freak frame. The way it obviously being. And obviously went to Germany again. I'm just sort of, just my head was in bits. I've ended up calling it a day with Chris Henry.
Right.
Just things sort of not working for me at the moment, and obviously called it a day with him. Obviously on good terms, but
yeah.
Just need to try and clear my head and
the different direction, basically. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, just, and the sort of same happened yesterday against Robbie Williams, obviously in the Welsh. Just struggling with confidence, simple as that. Just fight himself.
Yeah, I mean, it seems to, like, you know, from the 1-4-3 and, the first Championship League stuff and just, like, really playing really well. And then, obviously, the loss to Robbo. I mean, it's almost like a switch sort of flick then, do you know? Can you put your finger on where the sort of slide began, sort of thing?
No, it's been sort of like, it's been there in the game sort of like most of the season. I've been playing pretty well before Christmas. Just obviously a few bad losses, like obviously got the UK 5-1 up, lost 6-5, lost a few big deciders that could have sort of make or break the season, and I've just been on the wrong end of them all, and obviously just it's taking its toll on the confidence side, and I've just got to try and rock through it.
One.
What I would say is, I mean, your results in Group 4 of the Championship League were also notable for another landmark achievement. You made your 600th career century. It came during a 3-1 win over Jackson Page. And it's something only 10 other players have done in the history of the game. I mean, everyone knows you're a heavy scorer. Your 9 competitive 147s underline that. But where did this rank on your list of achievements?
It's obviously it's a great honour. Like you say, 600 took me 30 years to do, but only 10 other people have done it, and hopefully, never know, I could try and sort of get to 700 by obviously end of my career. But it's weird. I think there's like two lists. There's obviously World Snooker list that's about 8 behind another list.
Right.
There's a website called Q Tracker.
Yep.
And like you say, I think I'm 6 or 7 in front of the 600 from World Snooker. So.
Right.
I think I might have done it at the UK.
Right.
And then, I put it on the website, and then obviously when I done it there, then. Obviously, it got a notice that I got 600, obviously, on through World Snooker sort of thing. So,
gotcha. I mean, what it does underline is, despite the disappointing results and all that, there's still some big visits, you know, there's still some big, you're still making those tons and stuff. So, I guess that's what's really probably irritating you at the moment is, like, you know, it's, if you get in and you feel good, you can sort of score heavily, you know, and it's, I guess it's just, it's the consistency across the entire matches that maybe is the problem, yeah?
Yeah, no, like I say, I'm just sort of battling myself at the moment. I'm not getting outplayed, I'm getting my chances, I'm just on a bit of a poor run with confidence wise, really. It's all I can put it down to, but I know my game. If I play, then I'm good enough to beat anyone, so just trying to find it at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, I'll have to have a look back at it. I can't remember how you tapered your run into the Crucible last year, but obviously, you know, it's just it feels like you, if it clicks and you're feeling right, then Dennis like more than a puncher's chance. So you know, I mean, obviously, that I guess that's what you'll be looking for. Look, we mentioned already in late January you flew out to Berlin for the 2025. I see it's sponsored by Machine Seeker, the German Masters. It ended with a whitewash defeat to Tepchi Ano. And let's see if I've nailed that. Tepchi Ano, because I know I've got it wrong in the past.
Tepchi Unu.
I'll get close one day. I'm going to write to him personally, I think. Yeah, but anyway, look. Tepchaya also won your international championship clash in November, of course. Now, I couldn't find any written reports on the match in Berlin, but I watched some commentary-less footage on YouTube just to try and get an idea of the match. In summary, you left him a green in the first frame, which he took advantage of. Then he basically ground out the next four by playing what I describe as marginally better and taking some of his chances when they came up. You missed a pink off the spot in the fourth and then a key red on 46. And you were unlucky to pot the white a couple of times. He laid a couple of snookers to basically fall over the line in what looked a key frame there. Look, it didn't look like much fun to play that match, but your pot rate was 41%. And as we've already discussed with the 600 tons, it's not typical of you. So what do you think went wrong there?
As you say, it's just sort of in the daytime. Obviously, I was with Chris at the time, Chris Henry, and just obviously tried to tweak a few things. And when I went into the match, I was doing everything other than potting balls. My head was in the bin, and it showed in the game, really.
Yeah.
It can get like that sometimes, and just sort of say, like, and that's it, more or less what happened yesterday. Just trying to find a chance to win a frame at the moment. That's how hard it is at the moment.
I mean, look, on Germany, your TWS stablemate Kyron Wilson obviously won there, of course. So I guess well done to the Warrior on his fine season so far. is he enjoying his campaign?
Yeah, he's just going from strength to strength.
Yeah.
He's just obviously full of confidence himself, and he's obviously, like you say, just sort of having an unbelievable season. Obviously, his best season in his career, and fully deserved.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I was going to stitch in Carla's episode question here, but I think we'll wrap up yesterday first, and then we'll try and end on my always amusing wife. But let's wrap it up. It was a 4-0 round one defeat to Robbie Williams at the Welsh Open yesterday. Again, match details thin on the ground. So you know, you tell me, what was the story of the match, mate?
So, like you say, just same as the Tepchi game, really. Yeah. Just little things here and there, and like you say, sort of. I've lost the first on the black, and then like obviously I had a chance. The white was near the middle pocket, the black was just under its spot. I tried to cut it in and left it, and he put a good long black. And then from there, like with the confidence, it just sort of just sapped away from me. It's sort of simple as that, really.
Please check the volume of our earpieces. One of them are very loud. Thank you.
Okay, well, we'll wrap up with Carla's question. A regular section has become over the past few months. Anybody who doesn't know, Carla is my wife, and she takes a vested interest in my work life and obviously Stuart's career. So, you know, we ask to be the everyman character who asks questions of Stuart to kind of get to know him a bit better, I suppose. I asked her for her offering as I drove her to work this morning and after catching her up on some recent results. So she asked me to ask you, just straightforward, what do you do to regroup and reset after a defeat?
At the moment, I don't know. At the moment. But normally, I sort of look back at the match. Normally, it's on like YouTube or something, and just go over it and see where I could maybe improve, or just sort of, like you say, try and reset and go to the next tournament and hopefully it all gets better. But that's it, really. It's sort of, like you say, ask the same question to Kyron, and he's buzzing, he's looking forward to everything, and
yeah,
I'm sort of struggling to enjoy it.
Yeah.
Like, just one of those things. So hopefully it just it can change within the next tournament. So
yeah,
just got to keep going.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, I've covered you, I think, 2011 or whatever, 14 years, and I've seen these cycles with you. You know, I've seen the lows, I've seen the defeats, and I've seen you come back. I've seen you do it time and time again, and I've no doubt, you know, that cycle will turn again. But look, I'm going to let you go. Obviously, thank you very much for your time this morning, driving back there. And, of course, I'll just sign off by wishing you the best of luck for your crack at the World Grand Prix in Hong Kong in early March.
Lovely. Thanks, James. Appreciate it.